years before Christ came. And I wanted to finish up with a New Testament look at the Messiah, at Jesus. And one of the clearest, most wonderful presentations of the person of Christ is in the Gospel of John. It really, you know, is God showing us who our Savior is. We know the story of the baby born in a manger. We know the story of the wise men coming, of the angels declaring, you know, the glory of this gift of God and all that narrative that went with it. But John wants us to make sure that we know who our Messiah is. Do we really know who the Lord is? Do we know, you know, whom we're trusting? Because let's face it, if Jesus Christ, if you're calling on the name of Jesus, you are putting your life in that person. You are really resting everything that you are on the person of Jesus. And so John wants us to know who that is. And so it's one of the you know, favored texts for many of us. And I apologize for putting the Greek. But, you know, the thing about the Gospel of John, it's one of the books that I can almost read in Greek without any help. Because it's the simplest Greek. It's not that, you know, I'm a great scholar. It's the simplest Greek. But it also, the Greek slows me down enough and gets me to focus on things well enough that I don't want to miss anything in this section, right? So I actually put that for my benefit, so I'll look at it and slow down a little. You know, I get so excited and stuff. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So here he's, you know, again, in the beginning, and that is reminds us right away, hopefully, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's saying, in the beginning was the Word. Now, one of the things about Genesis 1 is in the beginning, God. What does that mean? That means God was before the beginning. He was already there. You know, so we think of God as eternal. We know that he has no beginning and he has no end. And when there's an Alpha and an Omega, that's talking about creation and the end of it and then the kingdom, right? So we have, you know, God existing always. And so what is the first thing that John says about Jesus? In the beginning, Jesus. Jesus was, right? Matt, this probably needs to be, we turned it up yesterday a little, and I'm sorry, even for the singing, I had to be careful not to give it all the gusto, yeah. but he's trying to remind us that Jesus is uniquely God. That there is nobody like Jesus. Listen to me. There is nobody like Jesus. Everybody say that. There is nobody like Jesus. And Scripture wants it to be very, very clear about that. That there is no one equal. There is no one else can do what Jesus did. No one else could live the life that Jesus lived, and no one else could be what Jesus is. Nobody else is like Jesus, right? And so John starts off with that, you know, equating Jesus with eternal God in the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Jesus is. And then he calls him the Logos, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. It's one of the favored titles of Jesus. In the early church, when people wanted to talk about the deity of Christ, when they wanted to talk about his nature and whatever, they called him the Logos because of this text and because how John used that word talking about, you know, a word and a God, you know, the God word, right? But one of the things I love about this is, you know, a word is a message. It's a message. And this is God's clearest communication to us of what we're supposed to be. Because we were supposed to be children of God. We were supposed to be, you know, his family, right? And so Jesus is the Word. He is the message. He is the person that represents God perfectly to us so we could see what we were intended to be. He is, you know, Paul calls him the second Adam, right? And so we have this unique person in all history who is totally God and totally man, who is the communication of God about who God is, about what God is doing, and about what God intends for us, right? So there's the first five words. Okay, only a few more to go. Yeah. And the Word was with God, and the Word, I'm looking at the Greek. And God was the Word is actually what it says. This is one of the problems that we have in our modern world is people are trying to diminish the person of Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses change this and they translate this rather than say that Jesus is God, they say Jesus is a God. As though they want to create an idolatry and say, you know, now we have more than one God. Folks, Jesus is God. That's what the text actually says. Jesus is God. And anyone that tries to play with those words, run from them. Or, you know, like one time I had a Jehovah's Witness knock on my door and I opened the door and I knew who they were. And I just said, you just came to tell me that Jesus is God. Thank you. And I closed the door and they screamed and yelled for 10 minutes on my porch. How dare you? You know. Anyone that's trying to change the person of Christ is a very dangerous person. John in 1 John says it's an antichrist. You don't want people to tamper with the words of Scripture, to tamper with the person of Christ, because as we said, only Jesus could do what Jesus did. Only Jesus can accomplish what Jesus accomplished, right? So he is singularly unique in history. He is God. He is man. And that's how God gives him. Now, it says he was God, he was with God, and he was there in the beginning. Now, one of the things that gives God his authority, one of the things that gives God his absolute authority over all people is creation. God made you and he made me. God created us. You know, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created you and me, and he made us for a purpose. We were, again, supposed to be his family, his children, right? That's what God created us for. Again, when people in our age, they're trying to tamper with the idea of God being creator, what they do by doing that is they try to strip away the purpose that God made us for and his authority. God's authority resides in the fact that he made me. You know, as my creator, he's allowed to ask me to do anything. He's allowed to ask me to give anything. He's allowed to change me and to talk to me and tell me what's what, right? I need to listen to him because of his divine creative authority. John, right away, puts him at par in eternity, puts him at par in deity, and puts him at par with creation. He says, that's actually a pretty accurate literal translation. All he's saying is, everything that exists came into existence through Jesus. Colossians says the exact same thing. It says, everything was created by him, and everything was created for him. Folks, when we worship God, when we give ourselves to God, when we bow before him and honor God, We're not giving God something that he doesn't deserve. We're simply doing what we should be doing. We're simply giving God everything that he does deserve. If we give everything that we are to God, then we have only done what we should be doing because he is our creator. He gave us life. He gave us the brains we have. He gave us the feet and the hands and the legs and the air to breathe. And there's nothing around us that he didn't give to us. There's nothing in us that isn't his. So when we give God anything, we're still owing God everything because there's nothing that we have, nothing that we are that God didn't give us. And so we owe him. Again, we owe him praise. We owe him glory. We owe him our very lives, right? We owe God our obedience. We owe God praise and worship. What's amazing about our God is that when we do that, when we get in line with him, he blesses us. He gives us, you know, his grace and power and his word. You know, he guides us through life. He tells us and teaches us, right? He builds us up. He makes us stronger. When all we're doing is what we should be doing in the first place. It's an amazing relationship that God's created for us. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Creator. He has divine authority over me and over you. And our hearts, at very best, should simply say, yes, Lord, your will be done. Yes, Lord, I want to be yours. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. Yes, Lord, I want to praise you. I want to give you honor and glory. Well, we know that this world, unfortunately, is not where it should be. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The quality of life, you know, God, again, created. God, we can't even hardly imagine, you know. God created life. Where did life come from? Oh, the scientists are figuring it came from Mars, you know. They're still trying to answer that question with all of our technology and everything, you know, and all they've done is move the question from one planet to another. They're trying to keep that answer as far away as possible, right, so that they don't have to face the truth. The truth is, life came from God. It came from God. And only God has the power to do that. Only God has the power to speak things into being, to create life where there was no life, because God himself possesses life. And Jesus, being God, has life. He has power. Now, this is so important to us. Listen, we're believing in Jesus, right? 16 times in the book of John, he talks about life and God giving us life through Jesus Christ. If Jesus doesn't have life, if he doesn't have the power to speak life into you, you know, right? Then wait a minute. But he does have that power. So John makes it right up front. You know, he has the power to speak life into you. When you say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior, he can speak life into you. And that means, you know, you're going to rise up. That means you're going to live in the kingdom of heaven. That means you're going to have eternal life, because he has the power of life in him, and he's able to give life to us. It's a very important part of, you know, when we talk about I believe in Jesus, right? It's very important to understand that we're saying I believe in his power. I believe that he has singularly the power to bestow life upon me. And John's gospel says that over and over and over again. The whole idea of believing in Jesus in John is that you may have eternal life, that you may receive from Christ life. And of course, the light, the word, the testimony of God, the truth of God, the life of God was in Jesus. And he came. And John makes the analogy like a light shining into darkness. And the darkness did not love it. The darkness didn't receive it. The darkness couldn't embrace it. Yesterday, we filled this room full to the back two times. Two times, yeah, packed. We had more chairs and still packed, right? And today, only a few of those folks are back, right? The light of God was here, though. It's shown. I would say, you know, what I care about is that the light of Christ shines as we share the testimony of Christ, as we proclaim the goodness of Christ, as we look into his word. I just want the light of Christ to shine. People don't need to know me. They don't need my friendship. What they need is Jesus Christ. What they need is the Savior. They need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And God shone yesterday. There was a good spirit in the place, and the Word of God was rightly divided, and people heard the light or saw the light of Christ. But you know, the world doesn't like it. The darkness doesn't understand it. One of the things you ought to thank God for is if you do understand who Jesus is. That is the most precious gift that God gives us. The idea, again, that we know we should worship, what we know we should follow, that we should call upon the name of Jesus, that is a gift from God. That comes from God. You know, sometimes we get it backwards. We think, oh, I called on God and then he did X, Y, and Z. I got news for you. You don't call on God unless God called on you. Unless God spoke into your heart, unless God gave you the ability to understand, to open your mind, to see Christ, right? And that is a gift from God. And we all always ought to be thankful. I thank God for my mind being open to God, understanding who God is, wanting to look into His Word. It's not natural for a person to say, I want to know who God is. I want to experience His light, His life, His, you know, I want to be His person, right? That's a gift from God for every one of us that God works through. So He says here, the Word came, the light came, the life came, right? But the darkness didn't understand it. Says, then he talks about John the Baptist real quick. He says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. John the Baptist, we know him, right? And he was a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Some of you have been around me, you know. First of all, John is the last Old Testament prophet. And he stands among the people of Israel, and he's pointing out, there's the Messiah, there's the one that we've been talking about, there's the one that Scripture testifies to, right? Pointing out who Jesus is, right? He's out there proclaiming, telling people the light. No one else, listen to me, no one else in human history who claimed to be something for God or of God had someone come before them and point them out. Everybody else, they kind of made themselves something, you know, right? Religious leaders all over, you know, I am. And, you know, then they got to build a crowd around them to support that, right? Jesus wasn't like that. God sent a prophet in front of Jesus to prepare the way, right? And John stood at the Jordan and he pointed out, there he is. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He pointed out Jesus. That was God's way of, again, showing that Jesus is singularly different than anyone else that's ever come before. Jesus was pointed out. He was the light of God. And John, God sent John to make sure that people knew it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The people of Israel, you know, they had heard from Moses to the time of Christ, 1,400 years. They had heard about the Messiah coming. They had heard what God expected of them. They knew their failure. They knew that they were in sin. They knew that they needed help. And they should have understood that this Messiah was going to be their help. And a few people got it, like Simeon, who saw Jesus at the temple when he was as a baby, and he says, I can die now because I've seen the Messiah, and God promised me when I see the Messiah, you know, now I can go, right? And there was Hannah, who also recognized the Messiah. You know, so you had people that were walking with God, but for the most part, right, they didn't get it. For the most part, they didn't recognize it. You know, most of the people that we try to tell about, you know, who Jesus is, they don't get it. It doesn't penetrate their hearts. It doesn't get into their mind. You know, we're trying to tell them, do you understand there's life in Christ? Do you understand there's light and understanding in Christ? Do you understand that in Jesus Christ, there's a way to know God and to be in relationship with God? Do you understand how important it is that we bow down before Him and call on His name and ask for His help? You know, as I pray for us as a church, you know, the one thing I pray for is that we would have Jesus. The one thing I pray for is that the light of Christ, the love of Christ, the power of Christ would be in our lives. Because as I said, you really don't need me. What you need is Jesus. You know, we love each other and I love you and I carry you in my heart and I do care about you. But you need Jesus. You really need Jesus to wrap His arms around you, to give you strength when things are hard, to make you better than what you are, to bring you closer to the Father and to bring you towards the kingdom of heaven. We need Jesus. A lot of people can't hear that. A lot of people can't understand that. They can't follow that. They can't receive Jesus. To receive means to take Him in. To say, I you know, it's not, you know, again, it's not just up here, you know. I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus died. It's here. It's here, you know. It's our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. It's all that we are saying, Jesus, I so much need you. He says the world, for the most part, won't do that. Even His own people didn't do that for the most part. Yet to all who did receive him, for all that did embrace him, for all that to receive means really to take it in, you know. I want to receive Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart. I want him in my life. I want Jesus. I want him so bad, you know. I want to be his. I want him to be mine. I want him to be my God. I want to be his person, you know. I want Jesus. To everyone who received him, to those who believe in his name, this is where, again, what's John doing? John's putting Jesus in front of us. He is Creator God. He is the light. He has life in him. He can bestow eternal life at a word. He looks at you and you call on his name. He can say, life, and you have life. You will never die. You will live with God forever and ever. He has that power. When he died on the cross, when he suffered for sin, he destroyed the power of sin in my life. I'm not trapped in sin. I'm not ensnared in sin. I'm not imprisoned by sin. And now I am free from sin because of the work of Jesus Christ. I believe that the death of Jesus Christ had power. I believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ had power. That when he rose again from the dead and he ascended up to the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to us so that we wouldn't be orphans, we wouldn't be left alone, that we would be the children of God, adopted and stamped by that Spirit as his people, right? I believe in Jesus. That's what we're talking about. For as many as believe in his name, who he is and what he did, he gave them authority to become the children of God. Too many times, you know, when we talk about our salvation, Jesus died for my sins, period. Jesus didn't just die for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus destroyed the power of sin. Jesus destroyed the work of the devil. Jesus destroyed death's hold on me. Jesus rose again from the grave so that I might have righteousness. Jesus ascended into heaven and pleads my case before the Father so that I may live a new life. Jesus came into this world to make me a new creature in Christ Jesus, to make me a child of the living God, to make me a son of God. That's what Jesus did. That's my salvation. It's what Jesus did from beginning to end. It's from beginning to end. To everyone who believes in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. The goal of Christ, the goal of our Messiah, our Savior, the Logos, the goal of Emmanuel, the goal of Lord of Lords and King of Kings is for you and me to become the children of God. See, God gave us this authoritative, powerful Savior to make us God's children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I try to tell you, with all the things we think about with, I'm trying to live it right, I'm trying to do this and do, it is God who loved me and you. It's God that put his arms around us and sent us what we need in order to be his children. It's God who's saying to us through the Messiah, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Logos, I love you. I want you to be my children. I'm glad that we know who Jesus is. I'm glad that we know the power of the salvation that he brought Christmas morning so many thousand years ago. I'm glad for every heart that believes in him and calls on him. For every soul that says, I believe in the name of Jesus and knows that power, that authority that comes to make us God's children. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you so much for our Savior, for Jesus who came for me, for my friends, for your family. I thank you so much, Almighty God, for this great, powerful Savior. Jesus, we bless your name. We do love the name of Jesus. We love the work that you've done. We love who you are. And we would love to be a part of your family. So please continue to help us. Grow us, O Lord. Grow us more and more into your children. Help us to know you better, to be with you more and more, to give you what we ought to give you, our whole selves. Thank you, Father, for every family and person here, and I pray, Lord, that these words will help us go through Christmas with the celebration of Christ in our hearts, the joy of your greatest gift, our Savior. Help us, Almighty God, to then aspire to be your children above everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Something like that. Thank you, Father, for explaining to not only me, but to
wrestle us what it means to be a Christian, for telling us that you answer our prayers not so we can say, oh, God did this for me, so that we can stop cussing or whatever it is that is not like you. It's why you do those things and why you make yourself real. Thank you for telling us you want us to be like you, to be good people before we go to telling people I'm a Christian and we're living any kind of way. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to not only to wipe away our sins, but to give us the power to live like him, to act like he cleaned us from sin. And now, Father, we ask you to continue to discipline us and do whatever it takes to cause us to change and become the people that you saved us to be. That's why you saved us, to make us new people, so we won't act and think the same way. And we'll forever tell other people when they ask us, why are you different? Why are you like you? You don't do like others. We'll say it's because Jesus has come into my heart and Jesus made me another person. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm better than anybody else. But Jesus changed me. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And not to just say I'm forgiven and do anything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.